Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. In the mid-1980s, National Alliance Chairman Dr. William Pierce was arrested and bodily removed from the land that he had founded. The reason? A woman, a disgruntled ex-employee, later discovered to be in the pay of the Alliance's enemies, had charged him with assault and rape. She had wormed her way into Dr. Pierce's confidence by volunteering to work as a secretary, had almost immediately tried to get him involved romantically with her, and just as quickly turned on him and filed legal complaints against him. This was at a time when it was very difficult to get people to relocate to rural West Virginia and give up the comforts of suburban life. Several of the families that had promised to come and help build the National Alliance and Cosmotheist community had bailed out on Dr. Pierce, and he was there alone much of the time. He not only was editing National Vanguard magazine and the National Alliance bulletin, building National Vanguard books, trying to communicate with members and keep the Alliance moving forward, and starting to erect the facilities on the land. But he was battling some of the most severe winters seen in years in a part of the mountains where severe winters are the norm. His wife had divorced him when she saw how hard their life was going to be there. He had started with several families, but now he was all alone. The organized Jewish groups knew all this, of course. They make it their business to know all about us because they don't like the people who expose their crimes and their real nature. They do everything in their power to hurt and denigrate us. And they saw in Dr. Pierce's struggles on his lonely mountain some vulnerabilities that could be exploited. Dr. Pierce needed help with his work. He would be very unlikely to refuse it when offered. Dr. Pierce was a man without a mate. He would be even less likely to refuse the help if the volunteer was a woman. And insinuating an enemy into his confidences would not only bring further intelligence on the hated Pierce and his National Alliance, but it would also allow free range for accusations of misbehavior, for which there would be no other witnesses except the lying, deceiving, paid agent of the Jews. These accusations could be used to smear Dr. Pierce in the Jews' publications, and if they played their cards right, maybe even put Dr. Pierce away somewhere where truth-telling would be difficult. And this they did. Unluckily for the Jews, their star infiltrator was a rather poor liar. And like most of the morally questionable and shadowy folks who are willing to do grossly immoral things for money, had so little credibility that it was impossible even for local law enforcement, who certainly had no love for Dr. Pierce or our cause, to believe her. In due time, William Pierce was released from his place of confinement. His alliance-building efforts were redoubled, and the arrival on the land of Fred Streed, Will Williams, Joe Price, and other great-hearted men and women soon followed. My point in telling you this story from nearly 30 years ago is to introduce my traditional winter solstice message, as the sun stands still, and to make a point about what is happening right now. The Alliance today, like then, is under attack. Our enemies traduce us in their press. They encourage gossip and plant rumors, hoping to turn us against each other. They misuse the legal system. They hope to discourage us. They'd like to see us all give up and quit, and imprison the ones who won't give up. But Dr. Pierce never gave up. His visit to a filthy jail cell did not discourage him. He shrugged off the lies that were told about him in the controlled media. He continued his work, and do you know what? The best years of the Alliance were soon to come. Dr. Pierce is one who never gave up. Our chairman, Will Williams, is one who never gave up. And those of you who are hearing my voice, the faithful and true ones who make everything we're doing possible, you are heroes also. For whatever has come, you never gave up. And that really is the meaning of the winter solstice, the real meaning of Christmas, if you will, to use everyday language. When the darkest days come, they are the harbinger of a new dawn. That is what we celebrate this time of year. This time of year, the winter solstice, is sacred to our people. It was considered sacred long before anyone formalized and systematized the deep feelings that we men and women of Europe had in our hearts about this season. There's something special about the white crystalline snow, the snap in the air, the warm hearth, the bright and happy faces of children gathered round the fragrant pine tree, and the tear in the eye that we older folks get when we remember Yuletide's past. Even on the eve of a long winter, the magic of this season gives us a feeling of the joy and infinite preciousness of life. We of Europe are essentially people of the North. Venice, Italy, is further north than Minneapolis, Minnesota, for example. And it was the northern climate that shaped us in many ways over long ages of evolution. Europe is a place of dramatic seasonal changes, and not coincidentally, so are many of the new homes that European man has staked out around the globe. And those seasonal changes were very important to our ancestors. They knew that they had to prepare for winter in summer's time of plenty, and any tribe which did not have the discipline or foresight to do so would perish, and its genes would no longer form part of our gene pool. Thus, nature's hard lessons shaped us, upbred us, turned us from beings that could hardly be called human into beings that can contemplate the infinities of space and time and ponder the meaning of life. The seasons of old Europe, in fact, if we do not lose ourselves through racial mixing in the modern, frontierless world we have built for ourselves, have given us the power to strike out into a new frontier beyond this earth. Besides increasing the size of our frontal lobes, the climate of our little peninsula shaped our souls in many other ways, and among other things gave us a special feeling for the seasons, which marked every aspect of our lives. The riot of sex and life reborn in the spring, the glory and plenty of summer, the harvest labors, majesty and melancholy of autumn, and the bleak vastness and purity of winter. Our ancestors were observant people and learned early on to watch the skies for signs of the cycles of the earth. And while it was quite obvious that winter was the time of shorter days, what was not perhaps so immediately obvious, except to the observant, was that the southward passage of the sun ceased and then reversed itself right at the beginning of winter, giving a sign, even before the coldest days had begun, that the longer and warmer days of spring were indeed on their way. This seeming paradox must have appeared as an almost magical event, a promise of life embedded in the nature of time and the universe itself. As the retreating sun changed direction, It lost its apparent momentum and seemed to stand still in the sky, rising and setting at almost the same position for several days running, until it picked up speed, going in the other apparent direction, back towards the north, making the days in our hemisphere longer again. This time of the sun standing still is called the winter solstice. Solstice being a combination of the Latin words for sun and to stand motionless. Stonehenge was built on a British plain by one branch of our ancestors some 4,000 years ago to mark the seasons by its alignment with the sun and other heavenly bodies. Another kindred people, the Greeks, knew the earth was spherical and marked the passages of the sun and thousands of stars in their charts, long before the word Bible was ever uttered by a white man. So this is an appropriate season to reflect on the past, present, and future of our European race, the future of which is the prime concern of the National Alliance. In many ways, we face an uncertain winter. Not a literal winter, but a dark age. A winter time for which we as a people are ill-prepared. When we allowed the Jewish minority to take control of our news and entertainment media in the last century, we did not know that they had an agenda. An agenda that included our dispossession and ultimate extinction. We foolishly thought that they were just an odd variety of white folks and would quickly blend in with the rest of us. So concentration of the new mass media in their hands was of little consequence. We have paid with our fortunes and our lives for that mistake, and the payment is just beginning. When they want us to accept more immigrants to destroy our genetic uniqueness and murder us as a race, they turn on their virtual violins and appeal to our race's instinctive kindness and sympathy for the downtrodden. They falsely accuse racial realists and white people who love their race of being haters. But when they want us to kill their enemies for them in their Middle Eastern wars, they crank up the real hate propaganda, cook up false intelligence and scare stories about weapons of mass destruction that might streak from Tehran to Peoria, and send our young people to die and to slaughter whole generations of people who never meant us any harm, breeding millions of Osama bin Ladens in the process. The Jewish supremacists smile and even laugh when terrorists strike. And they fail to warn us even when they know it's about to happen, as with 9/11. Because they know that such attacks alone can provide a believable backdrop for their lies about how we have to kill people in nations that threaten Israel, or that don't want a government supervised by Jews. So, Americans die overseas in other people's wars, while America herself dies, her borders undefended, as her founding race is rapidly replaced by third worlders who could never even dream of maintaining, much less building, the scientific and cultural edifice of the West. We're bleeding from a thousand wounds, and most of us don't even know it. White people form an ever-shrinking percentage of the Earth's population, and the number of white women in their childbearing years is shrinking even faster, as easy abortion, contraception, miscegenation, and careerism have caused so many white women to terminate their family lines, causing a distinct aging of the white population that remains. And so we are well into winter. We white men and women of the West, wherever we may live. The Jewish supremacists and their false doctrine of multiracialism appear to be riding high, with truth-tellers and racial idealists oppressed and repressed everywhere we look. But at the cusp of winter is the solstice. The sun stands still and then turns our way again, a promise of spring, a promise of life and victory for our people. What has happened in Europe with millions of people finally showing some resistance to the invasion of their lands shows the potential that our cause has. It shows that large numbers of white people are hungry for the truth. With care and professionalism and a sense of deep responsibility, we can succeed far beyond yesterday's most optimistic dreams. If we could recruit even 2% of the more intelligent and responsible part of white Americans, for example, 2% of even a quarter of the white population is well over 1 million people. We'd be a force to be reckoned with in every national decision, and we'd give the controlled media a very good run for their money. We can do that. That potential and the beginnings of success that we're seeing is the promise of spring, the hope we see as the sun stands still. Everything depends on us. A future in which young white lovers will still love as only they can, where white scientists will discover and explore new worlds of inner and outer space that we can't even imagine now, where the laughter and bright faces of white children will still exist. A future in which new Beethovens and Aristotles will still be born, where the greatest heights we have reached in the past will only be foothills of the peaks and mountain vistas to come. That is the world we can build, if only we give our all and ensure that every white person hears our message and that every expression of our message is as perfect as we can make it. So this is my Christmas card to you, my solstice message, my good Yule present. There is a great deal of hope. Join with me, join with the members of the National Alliance who are already working for the only cause that really matters, and help us build the unimaginably great future that only we can build and that we can surely build. Ring out the old and ring in the new. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance. This week we are offering a collection of the very best of Dr. William Pierce's speeches and radio addresses, entitled William Pierce, The Power of Truth, Volume 1. This MP3 CD collection includes over 8 hours of the most powerful and moving words you are likely to hear in your lifetime. To receive your copy of William Pierce, The Power of Truth, Volume 1, simply visit natall.com and click on CD Offer. That's natall.com and click on CD Offer. Or send $16 each or $50 for 5 copies to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Once again, that's $16 for one or $50 for 5 copies to Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strong reminding you to never give up.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have. Shout to the sky.